If you've got your Bibles this morning, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. We're going to begin looking in verse number 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for the moisture you provided for us. Lord, just your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for each one that is able to be here this morning and their desire to come to worship together, to be drawn together in fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, that you would open our ears to the things that you have for us. And Lord, that you would just speak your words through me today, Lord. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." He says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not," in verse 5, "I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I am have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Sounds like a Christmas story, right? We're celebrating the birth of a Savior. Celebrating today when we think about time to come together just a few days before a day on the calendar that's marked for celebration of a Savior. Do you think about the Savior this morning? In the Old Testament scripture, in the prophet Isaiah, he tells us from the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord that created thee." Do you recognize who our Creator is this morning? Do we recognize, do we think about today in the world that we're living in this morning when you wake up and you see a reminder of God's hand in the snow and the cold and all the things that are around us this morning? Is our first thought to think about God the Creator? God that loves us, that cares for us, that provides for us, that meets every need and every thought and every situation in our life when we don't always focus upon Him. He says in that very first verse, "I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." That's something that we ought to celebrate this morning. When we think about the gift of a Savior and the knowledge of who Jesus is this morning, as God the Father mentions in that verse very specifically, that we are created by Him. Each and every one of us today, whether we recognize it, whether we look very specifically in the world that we live in today, that there's not a person in this world that wasn't created by God, that isn't specifically designed to be a child of God. Scripture reminds us over and over when we read in different verses the challenge for us to come to a thought of being a true child of God. That His burden and His desire for the world that we live in today is that every person that we know, every person we see, every person that we come in contact with would know that God has created us to be His child. To be in fellowship and relationship with Him. And we don't have that fellowship and that relationship without the gift of a Savior. And we think about opportunity this morning to celebrate what Christmas truly is all about. We think about a verse, as he mentions in verse 1 there, that we have been redeemed. You ever think about that word redeemed? Think about what it means to know that we have been redeemed. That redemption was provided for us by a Savior that went to a cross. That shed His blood on a cross for you and I so that we could have hope of everlasting life. There's no greater gift today than to know everlasting life through Jesus Christ. We know that opportunity today because God sent His one and only Son to redeem our sins, to pay for our sins, to pay for our penalty. To take upon His life the burden for every one of us. And if we want to celebrate Christmas this morning, we ought to get excited about knowing a God that sent His Son to redeem us. To know our name. He says, "I have called thee by thy name." Have you ever heard or felt that you've been called by name by God?
You know, when we think about our life today, and most oftentimes in our relationship with God, there's a few things that come to my mind when I think about our relationship with God. And most of the time, it's kind of like a lot of relationships in our world today, whether we get serious about it, we think about it or not, a lot of relationships today revolve around I. My relationships to people in the world today revolve around how it affects me and what I want from that relationship. The things that I can gain. And I know that it's not a popular thought, but it is the pattern. It is just human life today. It is human nature for us to revolve around myself. I. My relationship with this person or that person, it all hinges on whether or not, whether we recognize it or not, it hinges on whether people will do what we want them to do, when we want them to do it, and how we want them to do it. That is not a relationship with the Heavenly Father. But to know when we think about it this morning that He says that Thou art mine. When we have fellowship with Christ, we are a child of His. We have relationship with God the Father. We have relationship with Jesus Christ. We have opportunity. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. This is a reminder when we go to the Old Testament scriptures and we think about the nation of Israel. And he mentions Jacob here, and we see this thought of the children of Israel. And it's a reminder for them, and it's a reminder for the church today. There are times and situations, if you go back to the scriptures, and we are reminded of what the children of Israel faced. You think about their life and their bondage. We talked about Egypt this morning in Sunday school. Think about their life, the children of Israel, and how they faced life in bondage and slavery. And how God freed them from those things. And He brought them out. You ever think about really the account in Scripture that tells us that the children of Israel had a relationship with God. They had a great relationship with the Father. And because of their own pride and their own selfishness, now they see imprisonment, they see bondage, they see slavery. And when God frees them from that slavery, where do they go but to the wilderness, right? Because out of their slavery and out of the freedom that God had given to them, they walked into a place of discontent. They walked into a place in a relationship where they wanted simply what they wanted rather than what God wanted for them. And today that's the pattern that we live in, unfortunately, even in the church still. We follow the very same pattern that the children of Israel did. But there's a promise that He gives in this verse. He says, I will be with thee. In the midst of those things, He says, when thou passest through the waters. You remember when they crossed over? When God parted the sea and the children of Israel walked over on dry ground? That's a movement of God. And it's a movement of God that He promises to every one of us today. That hurdle, that difficulty that they were faced with was life. It was challenge of life. It was difficulty. It was questions. It was concerns. And whether we recognize it or not this morning, there's questions in our life, right? Anybody have questions? Anybody have fear? Anybody have doubt? Anybody have wonder when you roll out of bed in the morning and wonder, how am I going to go through today? How am I going to live life? How am I going to go forward with what I'm doing today? It's no different than the children of Israel were facing. But He promises that He would guide them through that. He says, I'll pass through the waters. I will be with thee when you're going through. It doesn't say that you don't have to go through the water. It just says He'll be there when we do. And He talks about a fire, right? He goes on. And through the rivers, He says, they shall not overflow thee. That's a promise. When we go through the river, that we're not going to be overtaken. That we're not going to be overthrown. When we're walking in relationship with the Father, they shall not overflow thee, He says. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You think about a fire. There's several different things when we think about fire, right? There's a lot of different pictures that come to your mind, probably. When you think about fire, first of all, of course, in a cold, wintry day like today, that's heat, right? There's a source of heat, and it warms our body, and it brings us to a different thought. There's light that comes through fire, right? The warning that we see in this verse that another situation that arises out of fire is things get burnt. Something's going to get burnt, right? Now, there's a promise here that is beyond the fire that we can comprehend and talks about a fire of eternity. I want you to think about that this morning. There's a description of fire in eternity in this verse. Because the gift of a Savior that God has given to us that we celebrate at Christmas is a security that we don't have to be burned by that eternal fire. But that we have hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. That we have hope to look to eternity. He says that fire, we're not going to be burned. Neither shall the flame, He says, kindle upon thee. There's not even an opportunity. We're talking about protection from a God that loves us. so much that He's given us opportunity to know Him and have hope of everlasting life. And we're talking all about a Jesus and a Savior in the New Testament that we read about today that Isaiah was prophesying about in the Old Testament Scripture. Think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One." Do you think about our holy God? Do you think about the righteousness of our God and the obedience of a Savior that came to this earth to be born in a manger, to die on a cross, so that we could see what it meant to really be holy? And today in our lives, in our hearts, we understand this morning, I understand in my own personal life that there's many a days when I'm far from holy. I'm far from obedient from what God has called me to be. But because of the blood of a Savior, the birth of a Savior and the death of that Savior on a cross, God looks at us and He says, you can be holy today because God is holy. I am the Lord your God. Is He the Lord of your life today? Is He your God? If He is that evidenced in our life this morning? He talks very specifically, the Holy One of Israel, He says, what? Thy Savior. We needed a Savior. The world needs a Savior, right? The world we live in today needs to understand what it means to look at a manger scene and see a baby Jesus and think about what does it really mean to know that person? To know that God loved us enough to send a little baby. To go through life and challenges and struggles and difficulty. To celebrate this morning that we can have relationship with a God that loves us so much that He sent His Son to go through every situation, every struggle, every difficulty that we face in our life this morning and do it perfectly. You recognize today that as we think about a Savior, that there's not one thing that Jesus went through on this earth that we're not going to face. He went through every situation, every detail, every struggle and every hurt. When we roll out of bed in the morning and wonder if God is there, we should trust in the fact that we know that if we have Jesus in our heart, He's already been there. He's already done it. He's faced difficulty. He's faced persecution. He's faced struggle, difficulty in our life, challenges in relationships, hurt and pain. All of the things that we could pile on in our lives today and look at our life and say, oh, poor me, Jesus was there. That's what it means to know a Savior. He says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sibera. He says, for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. What does he say? Thou art precious in my sight. God says to the church today, to every one of you in this room and every person all over this world, that the picture of life today is precious. The fact that we have life and we have breath is precious in the sight of God. Thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee, he says. What does it mean to be loved by God? In your heart this morning, do you know that God loves you? Do you see the evidence of God's love in your heart? Do you recognize this morning that the greatest example we have of love is in the Word of God and in the truth of God and knowing that He sent His Son to sacrifice for us. The greatest example of love is that picture of a Savior in a manger that we look at and say, man, what does this really mean for me today? What does it mean to be loved by God? That we actually have life today, that we have breath, that we got out of bed this morning, and that He's given us an opportunity to open our eyes and to look around the world that we live in and to see the opportunity that we have. And to live our life in obedience, knowing that it's because of the love of God we're here today. Fear not in verse number 5. Man, what message do we need to hear more today than that? Fear not. Fear not in all of those things. When we talk about eternity and we talk about salvation in Jesus Christ, then there's a great reminder for us right here in this verse. He says, fear not. If you have salvation in Jesus Christ this morning, you've got a relationship with Him today, then you have nothing to fear. The Word tells us that when we're in right fellowship with Him and we've given our heart and our life to Him, we have hope of everlasting life. That's life beyond anything that we could pile up here on this earth, right? It's beyond the pain, it's beyond the hurt, the struggle, the loss, the difficulty, all of the things that we could hold on to today. Life eternal with Jesus Christ is beyond all that. We don't have to fear today, we don't have to fear tomorrow, we don't have to fear any of that if we're right with Jesus today. That sound like Christmas? That sound like something to celebrate? Jesus Christ. and what He means to us and what it means to have fellowship with Him. Fear not, He says in the next part of that verse. Why? Because I'm with you. I am with thee. Think about it. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's a promise for the nation of Israel, and it's a promise for this church all over the world today. And when we're children of God, He knows exactly where you... You think about just the geographical context that we see in that verse. What does He say? I will bring my seed from the east, and I will gather them from the west and from the north and from the south. That covers every direction, right? Does that bring hope to you this morning? That God knows where we are. He knows where you are right now. He knows your hurt and your struggle in your life this morning. He knows the difficulty and challenges you're going through. He knows all the struggles. He knows all the joys and happiness in your life today. And you cannot hide from our great God. Scripture promises He's going to pull from every corner of this world. He's going to bring in the promise here from the nation of Israel is that He would do the same thing. He would pull in His children. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, there's no place you can go where He's not there. There's no dark spot. There's no difficulty. There's no day when you roll out of bed and life seems like it's going to overwhelm you and the things of life are overflowing in your heart. There's no opportunity for us when we think about it to be separated from Jesus Christ. To know our hope in the Lord. Even everyone, He says, that is called by My name. Look at that. For I have created him for My glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You're made by God. You are formed by God. You're created in the image of God, Scripture says. And we're created in an opportunity to fellowship with Him. We're called by the name of the Lord. The moment you ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, you're called by Him. And you're called by His name. I have created Him for what reason? Do you realize today that your life and your breath and every situation you're faced with right now is in order to glorify God? In the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of all of the things of this world today, in the midst of your joy and your happiness, when we think about a time to celebrate Christmas, do you roll out of bed Christmas morning thinking, man, I'm here today to glorify God. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? When you think back just in the last 7 days of your life, the last week of your life, have you glorified God with your life? If you look at every second of every day of your life in the last week, can you honestly look back and say, man, everything I said and everything I did glorified God? You realize today that that's what God created you for? And when we don't glorify God, when we don't, the things that come out of our mouth, the things that are in our heart and in our mind, when it's not glorifying to God, it isn't God's problem, that's our problem. Because our human nature snuck in and we've stepped away from what God has created us for. Today, you're here to glorify God. Every life, every breath that we take. He says, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We ought to celebrate this morning that we're made by God. Every one of you, a special creation by God to fulfill His glory, to fulfill His plan. Bring forth, in verse number 8, He says in the same chapter, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, he says in verse number 10, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. You ought to highlight that in your Bible. You ought to put that in your heart. And it ought to be the focus of our life and every thought in our days today, in the life of the church this morning. That verse ought to be the challenge. And when we come, look at it. You are my witnesses in verse 10. What does that mean for the church today? For the people in this world that have never come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, they're waiting for you. Because you have that relationship. If you don't know who He is today, today's your opportunity. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today you can do that. You know what it means to be in fellowship with Christ. To be in right relationship with the Lord, so that when you leave this place, you recognize the call that God has given to you. You're my witnesses. We are His witness to the world around us. He says, my servant. Look, not only are we made by God, this verse tells us we're chosen by God to do something very specific, to be the witness to the world that we live in. That you may know and believe me and understand what? That I am He. Do you understand today that there is no other God besides the one true God? We live in a world today that likes to create their own God. We live in a society that says your God can be whoever and whatever you want it to be. You don't have to have a God if you don't want to. And I challenge your heart this morning. You don't have to believe in the one true God, but there is a one true God. You do not have to believe in Him. That's true. There's not a person in this world that has to believe in God. They've been given the choice. And when they make that decision, whether they believe in God or they don't, we see the very clear example in Scripture, what it tells us. If we choose not to believe in God, there's a place for us that choose not to believe in God. That's for sure. Today we celebrate that there's a place for the church that believes in Jesus Christ, that believes in a gift that God has given to us. He says, if we believe in Him, we're His witnesses. And He says, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Do you believe in God today? You know, the evidence that you believe in something is that you live in that. The evidence that you believe that there is a God is that you make a choice every single day to be obedient to Him. To step aside from the pattern of the world and the lost things that are going on around us, and we come into fellowship with a Heavenly Father. That we make a decision this morning that says the most important thing in my life is a relationship with an everlasting God. That He tells us in that verse right there, what did He say? Before me, there was no God formed. There was nothing before our God. And He says, and there will be nothing after. He has always been. And He will always be. And what greater hope is there than to think about an opportunity to know a God that has always been and will always be, that loves us, that cares for us, that guides us. He says, I, in verse 11, even I am the Lord, and beside me, what? There is no Savior. What other message does the world need to hear on Christmas than to know that there is no other Savior than Jesus Christ? There is no other Savior. Your money can't save you. Your relationships can't save you. Your job and your status, your family, your friends, whatever you want to put your hope and your trust in today, none of that can save. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And the world today needs to know that He truly is the Savior of this world. That He is the only way to everlasting life. We believe in Jesus Christ. We trust in our heart that He is the God that He says He is. The Father reveals it to us in that verse, I, even I, am the Lord. Is He really Lord of your life today? If God is truly the Lord of your life today, then all the worries of this world, all the challenges of your heart, all the difficulty and questions and concerns, they disappear. Because you look to God and you understand that no matter what, He's above all those things. And the joys and the hopes and the excitement that we have when we celebrate the birth of a Savior, we recognize that He truly is the Lord, and the evidence that He is the Lord of our life is our obedience. That we put aside all the flesh, all the world, all the struggle, all the complaining and whining and murmuring like we talked about last week. We put aside all of that nonsense and we look to the Heavenly Father. And we live in fellowship with the God that formed us. I have declared in verse number 12, he says, and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witness, he saith the Lord, that I am God. As he speaks to the children of Israel, you think about it. We have constant reminders throughout the Old Testament. The children of Israel did the very same thing that happens often in the world today. They recognize the God for who He is, and they look for their own gods to fill in the voids in their life. Rather than letting God be God. We look to the things of the world. For the children of Israel in the midst of the desert, what did God do? He provided for them, right? He guided them. We have in Scripture, He tells us He guided them. in the day. He guided them in the night. He provided food for them when they needed it. He provided water for them when they needed water. He met every one of their needs in their life. And the children of Israel did the exact same thing we do today in the church. We look back and we say, well, God, I sure am glad you provided it, but it's not enough. I'd like to have something different. I'd like to have a little different things. You read the Old Testament scriptures, it tells us that God provided manna for the children of Israel every day, right? They had food. And after a while, they got to complain. And we're tired of this food. God, give us something different, right? And unfortunately today, I think this is the pattern that we're in the church today. The church and Christians today are looking for something different. God, give us something different. Because we're kind of bored with the same old thing. And if you don't believe me, look around today. Look around in this place. Look around in churches all over this world. And you'll find a pattern that is reoccurring in church life today. People have all of a sudden gotten bored with God. And with what God has given to us and what God continues to do. And with the message that the preacher keeps preaching. And it gets boring and old and tiresome. And we want to hear something new. And I promise you the reality is that when we get serious about God, it's fresh and new every day. The problem is not with our God. The problem was with our heart. And our minds, and our laziness, and our desire for things that really are not in anywhere in line with the will of God. God promises in His verses, He shares with us right there, that He's with us. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I've declared and I've saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God, He says, among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. What does He say? When there was no strange gods among you. What does that mean? That's the pattern of the same picture that we see in the world today. That there's no strange God because everybody's got whatever kind of God they want. Everybody's looking to everything else in this world besides the one true God. But He says to the children of Israel and He says to His church today, you are my witness that I am the only God, the true God. And if you don't believe me, look around the world today. Look at the pattern that we're seeing. People are drawing to everything they could possibly imagine to find hope and strength today. And they never find it until they come to right relationship with Jesus Christ. They hold on to all those other things, and you know firsthand, you witness it, you see it, maybe you've witnessed it in your own life. There is nothing greater or stronger than relationship with the one true God, with a Savior that loves us. Look what He says in verse 13, yea, before the day was I am He, before the day was I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Think about it. What does He say? I am He, and there is none that can deliver you out of my hand. That's where we ought to rest today. That's where we ought to be comfortable in our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord today. Is there's not one person, one situation that can take us out of the hand of God. No person, no situation in our life. Thus saith the Lord in verse 14, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and their Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. He says in verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I maketh a way in the midst of the sea and in the mighty waters, He says, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember in verse number 18, look what He says, ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19 is a promise for the church today. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, it's no mistake that we talk about the new things. It's no mistake that the world is looking for a new thing. And the new things come because of our relationship with God. Not because of our own will. Not because of our own pattern. Not because of any plan or purpose or program that the church can set up. Not because of a Bible study that'll fit everybody's needs and wants. Not because we have the best music in the world or the best building or the best whatever it might be that the world says the church needs to be today. But because we have fellowship and relationship with the one and only true God. And we live in a salvation experience through Jesus Christ. And there's a promise that God brought to the children of Israel, the same as He brings to the church today. I will do a new thing. If you want a new thing in your life, get to the old thing first. Get to relationship with Jesus Christ. Get to the place in your life where you can remember there was a day and a time in your life when you didn't know that there was a God, and you knew that you were living in a sinful situation in your life, and you said, God, I want to know Jesus. I want to know forgiveness. I want to know hope and security in Jesus Christ. That's a new thing for us. And a new day that God provides for us today and every day of our life is an opportunity for us to look to Jesus Christ. To look to the hope that we have. It shall spring forth, He says, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers and in the desert. I'll make a way. That's a new thing from God. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. He says even the animals of the earth will praise God. Other verses tell us that even the rocks will cry out. When the church has chosen to be silent, when the church has chosen to make life about ourselves rather than the relationship with Jesus Christ, when we've chosen to be silent in the world we live in, Scripture promises even the animals of this earth will praise God. Even the rocks will cry out. To give drink to my people, He says, my chosen, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. I want to challenge your heart this morning to show forth the praise of God in your life. To take opportunity this morning to recognize what it means to praise God. We have life, we have breath, we have hope of everlasting life beyond this world. And the message the world needs to hear this morning is that there is praise in the life of the church. There is joy and excitement in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior today. Want to celebrate Christmas? Tell that to the world we live in. Help them to see the Jesus that's in your heart. Don't let the devil have his way. Don't let the devil sneak into your heart and your life. Don't let him in a place that God has never intended him to be. But focus on Jesus Christ this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word and Your truth. Lord, I thank You for this message. And in the book of Isaiah, as the prophet of Isaiah shares with us, Lord, a hope that can only be found in a Savior, in Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning in our hearts, in our lives, Lord, that it's the desire of this church, every person that is here this morning, and for the people that could not be here, Lord, that they will listen to Your voice, that they will heed the direction that You've given to us from Your Word. And Lord, that our life today, this morning, this moment, would be about You. Lord, that we'd accept the free gift of salvation that You've given to us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is listening to Your Word today, Lord, that has never accepted You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, in this time of invitation that they would do that. Lord, that they'd be serious about coming to right relationship and right fellowship with You. We'd set aside our sin and our failure. We'd confess our sin before You. We'd accept You as our Lord and our Savior today. Lord, for those of us that can say we've honestly done that this morning, then I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be in right fellowship today. Lord, that we'd look past the world and all the struggles and difficulties and all the headaches and concerns of our life, and we'd look to You. And Lord, that our will this morning, our desire, Lord, would be according to Your will in our hearts. That our lives would follow in the pattern that You've set before us. That we would praise and honor and glorify You with every part of our life today. Lord, You know every heart. You know every life in this room. And I pray You'd help us to be obedient this morning, whatever Your will is in this place. And we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me if you're going to use a hymnal. It's 275. close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here this morning and their desire to come and, Lord, to worship, to be together as your church family, to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray as we leave from this place this morning, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, that you would work in our lives, Lord, as we leave here, that we would be a shining light and an example for you in the world that we live in. Lord, that we put our trust and our faith in you, knowing, Lord, that you are our God, that you've created us to be exactly who we are, and Lord, that we would be used by you this week. Lord, we thank you for the gift of our Savior that we celebrate today, for what it means, Lord, in our heart and our life to know you and to have hope of everlasting life. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, and we ask all these things in your most precious name. Amen.